نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Well, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We'd like to continue this evening in, I think, our fourth lecture concerning the explanation of the essay of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, his essay entitled Lum'atul I'tiqad, or Radiance of the Faith, Al-Hadi ila Sabil al-Rashad, the Guidance or the Guide to the Straight Way. And as we mentioned previously in the introduction to the book, that this essay or Risala, Lum'atul I'tiqad, it is a summary of some of the important beliefs that have been agreed upon by the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and which has been written in the essays of all of the scholars from the earliest generations of the Muslims until our time. Last week we began with the first two points from the book, in which Al-Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah begins his essay with some words related to the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, or the Tawheed related to the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His exclusive right to be named by Al-Asma al-Husna, the good names that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, and As-Sifat al-Ulya, or the exalted characteristics or qualities which he has also been described by either in the Quran or the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we mentioned the statement of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, point number one, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he says, Alhamdulillah al-Mahmud bi kulli lisan al-Ma'bud في كل زمان الذي لا يخلو من علمه مكان ولا يشغله شأن عن شأن. That praise belongs to Allah, the one who is praised on every tongue, or who deserves to be praised by everyone. المعبود في كل زمان, the one who is worshipped in every time, or who deserves to be worshipped at every time. الذي لا يخلو من علمه مكان, the one who has knowledge of everything in every place. There is no place that he doesn't have knowledge of what is happening there. وَلَا يَشْغَلُهُ شَأْنُ مَنْ شَأْنُ, and nothing occupies him, no matter or affair occupies him or distracts him or keeps him away from another affair. But Allah is able to control all the affairs and He is not busied by any of it. جَلَّ عَنِ الْأَشْبَاءِ وَالْأَمْدَادِ, and He is highly exalted and free from their being ascribed to Him any equal, similar or opponent. وتنزه عن الصاحبة والأولاد, and He is also highly removed from any attribution of there being for Him a partner, a wife or children. Allah has no need of such. ونفذ حكمه في جميع العباد لا تمثله العقول بالتفكير ولا تتوهمه القلوب بالتصوير. And Allah, His ruling or His judgments are executed over all of his creatures, human or otherwise. No one is excluded from the judgments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, specifically concerning the tawheed of asma wa sifat, or the names of Allah and his qualities, here Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be described by any example that the intellect is able to reflect upon or ponder upon and make an example for Allah. Whatever example we make to try to describe Allah, it is unacceptable. And the intellect of the human being is not capable of describing Allah by examples, nor imagining any image for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts or in their minds. Because he says in the Quran, in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that nothing is like him. Nothing is like Allah, negating any likeness for him, while at the same time affirming وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Then he said, لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَالصِّفَاتُ الْعُلْيَى, that Allah has the most beautiful names and the highest exalted characteristics. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verses 5 through 7, الرحمن على العرش استوى, that Allah is the one who ascended above the throne, and He is the one who possesses whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth and whatever is between them and whatever is under the earth or under the soil. And whoever speaks with a word out loud, then Allah knows that which is secret. If they say it out loud, Allah knows that, and He also knows the secrets, وَمَا أَخْفَى, and that which even is more hidden or undetectable than that which is done or said secretly. But He said that Allah encompasses everything in His knowledge, and His greatness and glory and His ruling or judgment is over all of the creatures, and His mercy and knowledge also encompasses everything. Yani Allah's mercy encompasses everything. There is nothing left out from the mercy of Allah. And then we mention concerning Allah's knowledge from Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verse 110. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, that Allah knows whatever is before them and whatever is behind them. And He also, يعني, that may also mean the future and the past, or what will happen in the next life and what happened in this world. And also that the human beings or the creatures, none of the creatures, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, none of the creatures can encompass Allah in His totality and perfection through their knowledge. Then He says, closing this point about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and specifically this is a rule, a very important basic rule of asma wa sifat, mawsufun bima wasafa bihi nafsah fi kitabihi al-azim wa ala lisan nabiyihi al-kareem, that He is described, Allah is to be described, it is proper to describe Him by what He has described Himself with in His glorious book. Yani Allah should be described by what He has described Himself with in His book, or what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described him with in the authentic Sunnah. The second point, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah mentions concerning the relationship or the responsibility that a believer has towards the ayat of Quran or ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that contain the mention of any of the names of Allah, or the characteristics or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should accept it. Willing submission and total unreserved acceptance of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with in the Quran, or what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him with in authentic hadith. Here Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah says, وكل ما جاء في القرآن أو صح عن المصطفى عليه السلام من صفات الرحمن, that whatever has come to us in the Quran or has been authentically reported from Al-Mustafa, the chosen one, that is Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, containing the sifat or the qualities of Ar-Rahman, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for us, he said, وَجَبَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ, it is obligatory on us to believe in it, وَتَلَقِّهِ بِالتَّسْلِيمِ وَالْقُبُولِ, and that we should accept it or receive it with submission, willing submission and qubool, total acceptance, وَتَرْكَ التَّعَرُّدْ لَهُ بِالرَّدْ وَالتَّأْوِيلِ وَالتَّشْبِيهِ وَالتَّمْثِيلِ, that we should avoid opening up the way to interpret or to explain or to give any meaning to these characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or reject them through these ways that he mentioned, four of them, the ways of the people who deviated, الرد, total rejection of something that came in the Quran and Sunnah. They said, we don't accept it at all. And it, not only did they, like some of them, they rejected it by reinterpreting it, giving it a new meaning. Rejected its original meaning and giving it a new meaning, which is rejection also. But this rad rejection, it means outright total rejection, saying we don't believe, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face. Well, Allah affirmed for himself in the Quran this characteristic. But they said, no, we don't believe that Allah has a face. It's not literal, nor is it figurative. A ta'wil means to reinterpret or to explain it in a way other than the obvious meaning or that which was intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A tashbih means to make a comparison or similarity, comparing Allah to anything in the creation. And a tamthil means to describe Allah by giving an example for him as a description of him, but that example is an example from something in the creation. And all of these are unacceptable, but we should accept whatever Allah has described himself with, or what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described him with, just as it is, according to its apparent, literal, obvious meaning. وَمَا أُشْكِلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَجَبَ إِثْبَاتُهُ لَفْظًا وَتَرْقُ وَتَعَرُّدُ لِمَعَنَاهُ. And whatever is unclear, what may be difficult for us to understand, for whatever reason, whatever is unclear, whether it's due to the fact that the Arabic expression may have more than one meaning, and we are not sure what is the correct meaning. Can somebody take those papers? There are two separate papers, so don't get them mixed up, please. One is from last week, and one is for this week. If the reason why the meaning may be unclear to us is because the Arabic text, the Arabic expression, may have more than one meaning, or more than one possibility of a meaning, or because of our own lack of knowledge or understanding, in either case, whenever any of the characteristics of Allah, the sifat of Allah, came to us and they're unclear to us, then it is obligatory on us to affirm the expression as it is and not to investigate or begin to use our intellect or imagination to try to find the meaning. But as Ibn Qudama says, وَنَرُدُّ عِلْمَهُ إِلَىٰ قَائِلِهِ وَنَجْعَلُ أُحْدَتَهُ عَلَىٰ نَاقِلِهِ. But instead, in those things that are unclear to us, we refer it back to the one who said it. And we refer the meaning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows best what it means when we are unsure, and we leave it to the one who transmitted it to us, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتباعاً لطريق الراسخين في العلم الذين أثنى الله عليهم في كتابه المبين بقوله سبحانه وتعالى. And this is, this way or this manner of understanding the sifat that came in Quran and Sunnah, it means following the way of those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised in His clear book by His saying, الراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. That those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say we believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. So they accepted that which is clear to them, or that which is unclear to them, they confirm it all. They don't negate anything of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ فِي ذَمْ مُبْتَغِي التَّأْوِيلِ لِمُشَابِهِ تَنْزِيلِهِ. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blamed, or he said, blaming those who seek to re-explain or to reinterpret with false interpretation those things which are mutashabih, which are not clear to some of the people in the revelation in the Quran. He said about them, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ إِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَإِبْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. But as for those who have a disease or an inclination to deviation in their hearts, and they follow that which is unclear, from the Quran, seeking fitna, seeking to cause dissension or confusion, or leading people astray, and seeking to give some explanation to those things that are unclear in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that no one knows the hidden meanings or those things that they want to reinterpret, and they want to go deeply into the meaning of something. No one knows the hidden meanings except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has made their seeking after those things which are unclear. They seek after the things which are unclear in order to mislead the people, in order to cause deviation, to give their own interpretations to things. This seeking of the unclear matters, this is a sign of deviation, that people want to deviate or they want to lead others astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined this with another description of those people. He said that they seek fitna, as well as those people who seek to explain the meanings of those things which are unclear, those are the people who seek fitna. And he blamed them, and he said that there is no way for them to give their interpretations, because nobody knows the meanings of those things that Allah has kept hidden except himself. Then the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen gave some explanation concerning this, which we discussed in detail last week. He said that the texts of Quran are divided into two types, that which is wadih, clear, and that which is mutashabih, or unclear. And concerning that which is clear, it is a necessity that we affirm it. We affirm that text without denying it. We affirm it, we believe in it. Its text, its literal expression, as well as its meaning, without giving any interpretations, distortions, comparisons, making examples or otherwise. And as for those texts which have the possibility of having more than one meaning, or which may be unclear to some of the people, then our responsibility concerning those texts is to refer back to Allah, to refrain from giving our own interpretations, but to refer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah. As the scholars of Islam said, in those cases where something is unclear to us, we say, Allahu a'lamu. Or as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to say, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lamu. Then the Shaykh said that the way of the people concerning the unclear, or the mutashabiha, or the mushkil ayat in the Quran that maybe may not be clear to everyone, he said that there are two manners in dealing with them. One is to affirm that it is all from Allah and affirm the truthfulness of it, even if we don't understand the meaning, but we avoid giving our own meanings to it. The other way is the way of the za'ighina or the za'ighun, those people who have deviation or zayg or disease in their heart. And what they do is they try to give their own interpretations to those things which are unclear to people in order to lead the people away from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a summary of what we discussed last week, and the Shaykh also explained the meaning of rad and ta'wil and tashbih and tamfil, which we mentioned already. The third point that the Shaykh mentions today, point number three, or Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentions today, point number three, he says that, and this is concerning some of the statements from some of the early scholars, the well-known scholars from the early generations of the Muslims. And here he quotes from two of the imams, of the four imams, of the scholars of fiqh. Though their statements here are not related to fiqh, but they are related to aqidah. And this is also a reminder to us that the scholars of the early generations of the Muslims were not limited in their knowledge to one particular science. But those who were scholars of fiqh, such as Al-Imam Malik, and Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, and Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and Al-Imam Ahmed, that they were also scholars of the sciences of Islam in general, including not only the science of fiqh, but also most of them were scholars in the field of hadith, and they were also scholars in the aqidah, or the Islamic belief system. And all of them wrote books concerning these matters, and we have already discussed the book of Imam Ahmed, Usul al-Sunnah, one of his books of Aqidah, and we discussed Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah, the book of one of the Hanafi scholars who followed the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, and the important thing is that here these scholars make some definitive statements concerning what is the position of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning how to view or how to understand the nusus or the text of Quran and Sunnah concerning the sifat or the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الإمام أبو عبد الله أحمد بن محمد بن حنبل رضي الله عنه في قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا وإن الله يرى في القيامة وما أشبه هذه الأحاديث. يعني الإمام أبو عبد الله that is أحمد بن محمد بن حنبل رضي الله عنه may Allah be pleased with him says concerning the saying of the Prophet of Allah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that verily Allah descends to the سماء الدنيا, to the heaven that is above this world, that is above the earth, the lowest heaven. that Allah descends to the Sama' al-Dunya. And as the hadith mentioned concerning this point, that he descends to the lower heaven, the heaven that is above the earth, in the last third of the night. And concerning the statement also that verily Allah will be seen at the time of the resurrection, on the day of resurrection, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be seen. No, Allah would not be seen in this world, but in the next life, Allah would be seen by the believers. And seeing Allah, the seeing of Allah would be one of the favors of Allah, or the rewards of Allah in the next life. In other such hadith, meaning hadith concerning the characteristics of Allah, His qualities, descriptions of His actions, that Allah would be seen, that Allah descends, that Allah ascended above the throne, and so on. And Imam Ahmed said concerning these ayats from, or these hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and similarly, this is in relation also to the ayats of Quran. But here he's speaking about the hadith, he said, يؤمن بها. We believe in these ahadith and the characteristics that are contained in them. يؤمن بها. وَنُصَدِّقُ بِهَا. And we confirm the truthfulness of it. We believe in it, we have iman in it, and we also confirm that it is true. لَا كَيْفِ وَلَا مَعْنَى وَلَا نَرُدُّ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا. يعني we don't try to explain the how of it. We don't say how is Allah's characteristics, but we affirm that Allah descends. Exactly how He descends, we know for sure His descending, or His ascending, or whatever is not like the actions of His creatures. Not like the ascending or the descending of creatures. So we don't say how it is, only Allah knows how it is. But we believe in it and we confirm that it is truthful without saying how and without wala ma'na, yani without giving it some meaning contrary or contradictory to the meaning that is understood from its literal obvious meaning in the Arabic language. Wala naruddu shay'an minha, nor do we reject anything that came to us in such statements in the Quran and the Sunnah. وَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولُ حَقٌّ. And we know that whatever the Prophet ﷺ brought to us, everything that he gave to us or he informed us of in all matters, and here specifically we are talking about the sifat or the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the Prophet ﷺ informed us of in the authentic hadith, it is haqq, it is true, it is reality. وَلَا نَرُدُّ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And we don't refute the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in anything that he has said or brought to us or informed us of, nor do we reject anything that he brought to us. وَلَا نَصِفَ اللَّهَ بِأَكْثَرِ مِمَّا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهِ بِلَا حَدْ وَلَا غَايَةِ. Nor do we describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more than what he has described himself with. And these descriptions should be without limits or bounds. And we describe Allah with what He described Himself with, and we don't add to it anything. We don't add to that description anything. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself, and whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Him, this is what we say. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, and He is the hearing, the seeing. Then Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, says, وَنَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ. And we say, as He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Whatever Allah said, we say the same thing. We don't change anything, adding or taking from it. وَنَصِفَهُ بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. We describe Him as He described Himself. وَلَا نَتَعَدَّ ذَلِكَ. And we don't go beyond that, going beyond the bounds of what He said. We stop at that and don't go any further. وَلَا يَبْلُغُهُ وَصْفُ الْوَاسِفِينَ. And we are certain that those who attempt to describe Allah with descriptions other than what Allah described Himself with, or other than what the Prophet ﷺ described Him with, that whoever makes any attempt by using their intellect or whatever, their imagination, to describe Allah, that those descriptions will never achieve the goal of really describing Allah. That the only way to describe Allah is as Allah has described Himself, and as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, who his descriptions are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has described him. نُؤْمِنُ بِالْقُرْآنِ كُلِّهِ مُحْكَمِهِ وَمُتَشَابِهِهِ. We believe in the Qur'an, the whole of it, that which is muhkam, those clear and decisive ayats in the Qur'an, as well as that which is mutashabih, that which has the potential or possibility of having more than one meaning, and therefore is not clear And it may not be clear to everyone. We believe in the whole of the Quran, that which is decisive and clear, as well as that which may be unclear. وَلَا نُزِيلُ أَنْهُ صِفَةً مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ لِشَنَاعَةٍ شَنَعَةٍ أَوْ شُنِعَةٍ. And nor do we take away from Allah, or decline, or deny, or reject even one characteristic of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to that characteristic perhaps being something difficult for us to accept. It may be that it may seem to be something ugly or something distasteful, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with it, then we accept it, because Allah knows best, and we are limited in our intellect and our human comprehension. So even if a particular characteristic may seem to the mind of the human being or to any individual as being something detestable or horrible or ugly, as being a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still we don't use our mind as a criterion to judge what Allah should be described with, but we describe Allah, we confirm every characteristic which He has confirmed for Himself without rejecting even one of them. وَلَا نَتَعَدَّى الْقُرْآنُ وَالْحَدِيثِ. And we don't go beyond or outside of the Qur'an and Hadith to search for understanding the sifat of Allah, the characteristics of Allah, the qualities of Allah, the actions of Allah. We don't go outside of the Qur'an and Hadith and look for any other means or any other sources, but we take from those sources that are revelation, that is the Qur'an and authentic Hadith. وَلَا نَعْلَمُ كَيْفَ كُنْهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِتَصْدِيقِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالتَّثْبِيتِ الْقُرْآنِ. And finally, he closes here by saying that we do not know the how or the kun, the reality, the core, the true nature of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except by confirming the truthfulness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he brought, and also affirming and confirming that which came in the Qur'an. Yani, the reality, the essence, the core, the true nature of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot know it. But whatever we know about it, it is only by affirming the truthfulness of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought us, and what the Qur'an related to us. These are the sources to know whatever we may know about the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His characteristics, to the extent that a human being is capable of knowing such. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says concerning this first point, or this point number three, concerning the statement of Imam Ahmad, he said that the negation of Al-Imam Ahmad in this statement, where he said that we believe in whatever came to us in the authentic hadith of the sifat of Allah, we confirm the truthfulness of it, and we don't say how it is, nor do we give it a meaning. وَلَا مَعْنَى. It doesn't mean that we don't give it any meaning. Those sifat have meaning, but here the meaning, what he intends by لا معنى, no meaning, it doesn't mean that these sifat have no meaning, but it means that we don't give it any meaning that is in contradiction to the apparent, or literal meaning of that characteristic as it came in the Quran or in the Sunnah. And we don't do as those who deviated, such as the Mu'attila or the Mu'awwila, we don't do as they did, making ta'atil or ta'wil, either negating the real meaning or giving it a new interpretation or explanation other than its apparent literal meaning. We don't do so. But the meaning that we affirm is the meaning, the literal meaning as it is understood in the Arabic language. And the proof that this is the meaning of what he means here is after he said, لا كيف ولا معنى, that we don't say the how of it, nor do we give it a meaning, meaning contrary to its literal meaning, he said, ولا نرد شيئا منها, and we don't reject anything of what came to us in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah. Meaning that we accept it, we confirm it, and we confirm that it has a meaning, even though the how of that meaning is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says that this statement of Al-Imam Ahmad that has been transmitted to us by Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, that this statement contains three main points. The first of them is that it is obligatory on us to have faith and to confirm the truthfulness of whatever has been narrated to us from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith related to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is obligatory on us to believe in it and to confirm the truthfulness of it without adding to it anything or taking anything from it or giving it limits or bounds, but leaving it in its absolute sense just as it came to us. The second point, that we don't explain the how of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to keep in mind that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and Allah, His being or His self is divine, so also His descriptions or characteristics or actions are also divine. And just as we know that Allah exists, that Allah is the divine supreme being, just as we know He exists and He is divine, and we don't know, we cannot explain how is Allah's existence. We cannot give an explanation of the how of it. Likewise, we cannot give an explanation of the how of His characteristics or His qualities or His actions. We just affirm that Allah is divine. How is His existence, we don't know. We affirm that Allah's characteristics are divine and perfect. The how of them, we don't know. But we just understand the meaning as they came to us, the literal apparent meaning as they came to us in the Arabic language. So here the Shaykh says that we don't say the how, nor do we give it any other meaning, other than its apparent literal meaning. Because he said, it is confirmed, Allah's characteristics are confirmed as being true. If they are narrated in the Quran, then we confirm them as being true. But we don't try to explain the how, because the how of the characteristics of Allah is known only to Him, as Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said when he was asked about Allah's ascension above the throne, and he said, Al-Istawa Ma'loom, that the ascension is known, yani its meaning in the language, its apparent meaning is known, Wal-Kayf Majhool, but the how of it is unknown. Yani the reality of Allah's ascension, exactly how it is in a divine way that's known only to Him. But to believe in it is obligatory, and to question it is innovation. Then he says concerning the same point that وَلَا مَعَنَا, that we don't give it any meaning, it means we don't confirm for any meaning that is contrary to its apparent meaning, as did the people who made ta'wil, who gave re-explanations. But the intended meaning here of Al-Imam Ahmed is not that we negate the authentic meaning, which is in accordance or in agreement with what is known by the expression in Arabic language, and as it has been explained by the Prophet ﷺ or explained by the Sahaba or those who transmitted from them. Then he says the third point that is understood from the statement of Imam Ahmed is that it is obligatory on us to believe in the Quran, the whole of it, the muhkam, that which is decisive and clear, as well as the mutashabih, that which may be difficult to understand its meaning. Yeah, and we believe in all of it. We accept both types, muhkam and mutashabih. But as for the mutashabih, that which may be unclear, we refer it back to the muhkam, that which is clear. Yeah, and if there's an ayah in the Quran in general that may not be clear to us, then we understand it by other ayats in the Quran that are very clear. And if there's anything related to the sifat of Allah that may be unclear, then we refer back to other descriptions in the Quran or other ayats in the Quran or descriptions from the Sunnah that clarify its meaning, and we understand it in that way. It is obligatory on us, even in reference to those things that we don't understand completely, it is obligatory on us to believe in it, to affirm that which is narrated to us in the text. But as for the meaning that we are not able to understand, we say that Allah knows best. And Allah is the one who understands it perfectly. Point number four, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah says, he narrates a second statement, the statement of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. قال الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد بن إدريس الشافعي رضي الله عنه. الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد بن إدريس الشافعي, the famous scholar of fiqh, the the Shafi'i madhab of Islamic jurisprudence, and he was also a scholar of hadith. Imam al-Shafi'i says, آمنتُ بالله وبما جاء عن الله على مراد الله. But I believe in Allah, and also I believe in whatever has come to us from Allah. يعني whatever has been transmitted to us from Allah, that is in the Quran, على مراد الله, as in accordance with the meaning that Allah intended, not giving it new meanings. But we believe in Allah, and part of our belief in Allah is believing in whatever Allah informed us of in the Quran. But believing in what Allah informed us of in the Quran has to be in agreement and in accordance with the meaning that was intended by Allah, not giving it some new meaning, not giving it a different meaning, contrary to what was understood by the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. وَأَمَنْتُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَبِمَا جَاءَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مُرَادِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And I believe in the Messenger of Allah and whatever or everything that has come to us from the Messenger of Allah in accordance with the meaning that was intended by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not giving it some other meaning that's foreign to the text or the Arabic understanding, nor foreign to the things that are known concerning this matter in the Quran or in the Sunnah and that have been accepted and established from the first generations of the Muslims from the time of Sahaba until now, by those people of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yani we accept whatever came in the Quran and whatever came in the Sunnah, but we have to accept it with the meaning that is in agreement or is in accordance with its literal understanding as it was intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here, he quotes the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, saying that what al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah has said, it is indeed the truth, which is obligatory on every Muslim to believe likewise. And what al-Imam al-Shafi'i says here is a principle that every Muslim is obligated to accept and to follow. And whoever believes it, as al-Imam al-Shafi'i said, and whoever believes in whatever came in the Quran and the Sunnah as it was intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever believes in that, without following their claim to believe in it, without following it with a statement that contradicts it. Yani whoever says, I believe in what Allah said in the Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, and then does not follow up that by a statement contradicting it. Some people said, we believe in the Quran, and then when you bring them something in the Quran, they give it a new interpretation, or they say that which contradicts it. But whoever says they believe in it as it came, as Allah intended it, and as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended it, then that person has traveled the road of safety, and security in this world and in the next life. And whoever follows this minhaj or this methodology, they will be safe. They will be safe from saying something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they will be called to account for, that they will be judged by Allah for, and they will be saved from this. If you said, I believe in what Allah said in the Quran just as He intended it, without giving any meaning for myself, and I believe in what the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, as He intended it, without giving any meaning for myself, then you will be safe. You will be safe and secure. But when you start giving your own interpretations, this is when the person deviates, and this is when they fall into danger of earning the displeasure of Allah and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his commentary concerning this statement of al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, says that the statement of Imam Shafi'i contains two points. The first of them is that we have to have iman or faith in whatever has come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His clear book, as it was intended by Allah, without adding anything to it, nor taking anything from it, nor changing it or distorting it in any way. Without adding to it, taking from it, or distorting it in any way. It is upon us to believe in it, as it came to us in Allah's clear book, as He intended it, without making any changes. The second point is having iman or faith in what has come to us from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in His sunnah, as He intended it, without adding to it anything from ourselves, nor taking anything from what He informed us of, nor without distorting it or changing what He said in any way. Here the Shaykh said, Shaykh Muhammad said, that this statement of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah is a refutation of the people of Ta'wil, the people who gave reinterpretation, and it is also a refutation against the people who made tamthil, who gave examples to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani from examples of something in the creation. Because each of these two groups, those who gave re-explanation, yani rejecting the literal meaning and giving it their own interpretation, or those who explained the sifat of Allah by giving an example from something in the creation, both of these people have not believed in what has come to us from Allah and from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it was intended by Allah and by His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the people of Ta'wil, they have rejected something. They have reduced what Allah has said by taking its literal meaning out and putting some other meaning there. And the people of Tamthil, they have given their own additional interpretation by comparing or describing or explaining the sifat of Allah by examples of something in the creation. And as we said last week, that whoever makes a comparison, whether a similar, by making saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristics are similar to anything in the creation, or by giving an example of something in the creation, in either way, they have compared Allah to something in the creation, and the creation is defective, is imperfect. That means that we are attributing or ascribing to Allah imperfection. And this is kufr. It is kufr to describe or to ascribe to Allah imperfection. And in making comparison or in giving examples of anything in the creation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is attributing to Allah imperfection. And just as reinterpretation or false interpreting, falsely interpreting the attributes or the characteristics or qualities of Allah, it is also a means of denial or rejection of what Allah has confirmed for Himself, and this is also kufr. Although we said that reinterpretation of ta'wil has different types, and if that reinterpretation is based on a possible meaning in Arabic language, then it is sinful. But it is not outright kufr unless the interpretation that's given contains a description. That interpretation, that reinterpretation that's given contains a description of an imperfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that would be kufr. Otherwise, if it has a possible meaning in the Arabic language, then it is sinful to do so if it is other than the literal meaning as Allah intended it, but it is not kufr. Whereas the one who gives an interpretation due to his ijtihad, and making sincere effort to understand, and he makes a mistake. But if his mistake was brought to his attention, and then he would reject his error and accept the truth, then that is, and the person who does so is forgiven. While the one who just gives an interpretation of the ayahs of Quran that contain the sifat of Allah, who give an interpretation that has no basis even in the Arabic language, then this is outright open rejection of the sifat of Allah or the ayahs of Quran, and it is outright an act of kufr. The last statement in this section of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, it is the saying, he's saying, وَعَلَى هَذَا دَرَجَ السَّلَفِ وَأِمَّةِ الْخَلَفِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ كُلُّهُمْ مُتَّفِقُونَ عَلَى الْإِقْرَارِ وَالْإِمْرَارِ وَالْإِثْبَاتِ لِمَا وَرَدَ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ في كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من غير تعرض لتأويله. Here the Shaykh says that this methodology or this minhaj or this manner was the way of the Salaf, that is the early generations of the Muslims, and it was also the way of the Imams of the Khalaf, and in the later generations of the Muslims. The Salaf, it means, Salaf, Salafa means to precede something, and Khalaf means to come behind. Just as you say the Khalifa is the one who came after someone. It means to come after. So those of the early generation of the Muslims, as well as the Imams of the later generation of the Muslims, may Allah be pleased with all of them, they were all in agreement upon approaching the ayahs and hadith of sifat in this way, by making iqrar or affirming or testifying or agreeing to the literal meanings of the text that came in the Quran confessing to their literal meaning, admitting their literal meaning. And making imrar, it means to pass over it without making any interpretation or distortion or comparison, but to accept it يعني, on its surface meaning. يعني, any ayat or hadith that came with the sifat of Allah, to make imrar, it means to accept it on its face value. To accept it just as it is, without any reinterpretation. But with that, it means to confirm or to affirm that which came in the ayahs of Quran or in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ concerning the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without opening these matters up for reinterpretation. Yani when anything came in the Quran or Sunnah, then we admit and confess to its being true. We accept it just as it is, and we confirm all of it without rejecting any of it. Here the Shaykh says that the way of the early generation of the Muslims concerning the sifat of Allah is al-iqrar wal-ithbat, يعني confession and confirmation, whatever has been narrated of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Sunnah, without opening it up for reinterpretation or giving it any explanation which is not in agreement with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended. There's also just a rahimahullah in which he said, لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى أَسْمَى وَالصِّفَاتِ لا يسع أحدا قامت عليه الحجة ردها. That Allah has names and characteristics which it is not permissible for anyone to reject after the evidences have been brought to them. Yani after the hujjah has been presented to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything. No one can say, for example, that Allah doesn't know the actions of the creatures until they do it, as the Qadariyya did. They said Allah doesn't know the actions of the human beings until they do those actions. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is al-Aleem, who ala kulli shayin aleem, then that means He knows everything. Whoever, after the proofs of Quran and Sunnah have been presented to them, and he rejects any of the sifat of Allah, the names of Allah, the characters of Allah, whoever rejects it, then this person يعني, has went out of the bounds. And Imam al-Shafi said that it is that Allah has names and characteristics which no one, it is not permissible for anyone to reject after the proofs have been presented to them. And this is also a point for us to keep in mind that people should not be criticized harshly, condemned, or declared to be kafirs or whatever, and proofs have not been presented to them. But people should be given a chance. If anyone makes a statement that's incorrect, they should be given evidences of the incorrectness of their statement. Or if they do any action or commit any act which is incorrect, they should be given evidences and proofs showing them that what they have done is incorrect before making a judgment. Now, the judgment shouldn't be made on people before proofs have been presented to them. Perhaps the people did something not knowing, out of ignorance. Then the judgment is not made until proofs have been presented. Imam Shafi went on to say, فَإِنْ خَالَفَ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتَ الْحُجَّ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأَمَّا قَبْلَ ثُبُوتَ الْحُجَّ عَلَيْهِ فَمَا أَذُورُ بِالْجَهْلِ. يعني that whoever opposes or contradicts the truth after the hujjah has been presented against them, after the proofs have been established against them, whoever continues to reject it after that, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, and that person is a disbeliever. As for before the proofs have been presented against that person, then that person is excused due to ignorance. Yani the people who didn't know are excused due to ignorance. But after the proofs are presented, if they continue to follow that path, to make that statement, or to hold those beliefs, or continue to engage in that action, after the proofs have been presented, then that person falls into, according to what the act is, if it's an act of kufr or otherwise, then it would be applicable to them. But only after the proofs, before the proofs have been presented, the person is excused due to ignorance. He says, Imam Shafi rahimahullah says, the reason for this, لِأَنَّ عِلْمُ ذَلِكَ لَا يُدْرَكْ بِالْعَقْلِ وَلَا بِرُؤْيَا وَالْفِكْرِ. Yani because the knowledge of the sifat of Allah specifically and the characteristics of Allah and the names of Allah is not something that a person could come to know just by their intellect. It's not something that you know by intellect, nor do you come to know it by vision or dreams or reflection or thinking or pondering. But the sifat of Allah is known and confirmed by revelation. It's confirmed by revelation, by Quran or by authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the person who didn't know about it, they are excused due to ignorance, but after the proofs have been presented, then they are accountable for their statement or their position. وَيُثْبِتْ هَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ وَيُنْفِي عَنْهَا التَّشْبِيهِ كَمَا نَفَعَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. يعني Imam Shafi closes his statement by saying that the sifat of Allah, that they are confirmed. They should be confirmed. Yani whenever any sifa or characteristic of Allah has been mentioned in the Quran or Sunnah, then we have to confirm it. And at the same time, while we confirm it, we have to negate any comparison to anything in the creation. Yani here, Imam Shafi says that there are two things that we have to make ithbat and we have to make nafi. Ithbat, meaning confirming what Allah has mentioned about Himself. And negation or nafi, meaning negating any comparison. We confirm that Allah has a hand and we negate that His hand is similar to the hands of creatures. So we have to make ithbat of the sifat or the sifa, and we also have to make negation of any comparison. Both of these go together. Then he closes his statement. Imam Shafi says we make ithbat of the sifat and we make negation of any tashbih or comparison as Allah negated from Himself in His statement, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And you can see that this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing is like Him, but He is the hearing and the seeing, is used over and over by all of the scholars of Islam, which is a proof of the strength of this proof. It is so strong that all of the scholars continuously mention this as a proof of confirmation of Allah's sifat and negation of any likeness or comparison. This is the end of what we wanted to mention today. The next chapter is concerning the encouragement to accept and follow the Sunnah and the warning against innovation. But that chapter is somewhat lengthy, so it's not possible to cover it today. Perhaps we can take this time to take any questions from this lecture today or from last week or the previous lectures if there are any questions or comments or corrections. If the sisters have any questions, you can send them over. Brothers, do you have any questions about what we discussed today? It's clear, huh? MashaAllah. Tayyib. Tayyib. Then perhaps we'll just take one point then. It's not included in the handout, but if there are no questions, we should use the time until the adhan. There's a few minutes remaining before the adhan, isn't it? Okay, we'll take one point, at least, anyway. Imam Ibn Qudamah in point number 6, concerning the encouragement of following the Sunnah and avoiding innovation, he says, وَقَدْ أُمِرْنَا بِالْإِقْتِسَاءُ اِقْتِدَاءُ لِآثَارِهِمْ وَإِحْتِدَاءُ بِمَنَارِهِمْ وَحُذِرْنَا الْمُحْدَثَاتِ وَأُخْبِرْنَا أَنَّهَا مِنَ الضَّلَالَاتِ. And we have been commanded to follow in the footsteps or the traces of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Sahaba, his companions, and to follow their example, and to follow the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that guidance which we found in the example or in the lives of his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We have been commanded to follow their way, to follow in their footsteps, and to take their example or their model as a way for us. And we have been warned, وَحُذِرْنَا المحدثات. We have been warned against newly invented matters. And keep in mind that these statements are general, but here Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah is specifically relating it to the topic of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. In the Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, we should follow the example and the way and the model of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions radiallahu anhu majma'in, and we should be warned against newly invented ways, any idea or understanding or interpretation that's not from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba. Then we should be warned against these muhtadat, newly invented matters. And we have been informed that all muhtadat, that all newly invented matters are dalalat, they are astray. Everything that's new, that's not founded in the understanding or the speech that came from the Quran or from the Sunnah or the understanding of the companions or listening of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of it is dalalat, it is all astray. No matter how good it may sound, no matter how fair-seeming it may be according to our intellect, but if it isn't something that was established and confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba, it only leads astray. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعَدِي. Because the proof of this is that the Messenger, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it is obligatory on you to follow my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khulafa, Khalifas. It is obligatory to follow my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas who will come after me. That is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu majma'in. عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. You should hold fast to it. Like the example he gave here, biting on it with your molar teeth. Biting onto it, holding something tightly, that is the Sunnah. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And beware of every newly invented matter. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For every newly invented matter is innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every innovation is astray. And in some of the narration of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every faddah, every innovation is going astray, and every thing that goes astray leads to the hellfire. This hadith is sufficient for us to know of the danger of accepting innovations in the matters of the deen, especially in the matters of aqidah, though even in the matters of ibadah, of worship or muamalat, interactions, social or business interactions, even in those matters, innovations in matters of deen are dangerous and they should be avoided. Are you looking for Arabic class? It will start after at 8 o'clock maybe. You are welcome. Here the Shaykh just mentions briefly concerning this point, that following them or taking them as a model and example is obligatory because of the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, عليكم بسنتي وسنتي الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. This statement, it is obligatory on you to follow my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas after me. Hold on to it tightly, like with your molar teeth, and beware of newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is innovation, and every innovation is astray. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi, and At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan Sahih, and it is a good and authentic hadith. And the Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that that hadith is authentic. And many other scholars also classified it as being authentic. So this is a proof that is obligatory on us to follow the Sunnah and avoid innovation. And here the Shaykh just gives the legal or the linguistic definition of Sunnah. It means a tariqah, or the way. And the istilah or mustalah, meaning technical meaning of Sunnah, it means that which the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were upon, that the way that they follow, whether in aqidah, beliefs, or in amal, actions. And the Sunnah means following the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions in beliefs as well as in actions. Following the Sunnah is obligatory based on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ. And that definitely you have in the Messenger of Allah the most excellent example or model or pattern of conduct for whoever has hope of Allah in the last day, whoever has hope in the reward of Allah and meeting Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah on the last day. Then the example for us is the Messenger of Allah. This is the proof of the obligation of following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and the proof of following the example of his companions is the hadith, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa al-rashidin al-mahdiin min ba'di. That it is obligatory to follow my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the right legal khalifas. As for al-bid'ah, linguistically it means something that has been newly invented, a shay al-muhtatha. The technical meaning of bid'ah, ما أحدث في الدين على خلاف ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه من عقيدة أو عمل. That bid'ah, its technical meaning is anything that has been newly invented in the deen, while it is in contradiction to that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions were upon, whether it is in beliefs or in actions. And it is haram to accept innovation or to follow any way that is in contradiction to the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And the proof of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 115, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ. That whoever contradicts or opposes the Messenger of Allah ﷺ after the huda, the guidance has been made clear to him, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ, and after the proofs have been presented and the guidance has been made clear, whoever opposes the Prophet ﷺ after that, وَيَتَّبِيَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows a way other than the way of the mu'mineen, the believers. Other than the way of the believers, when the Quran was revealed, there were no believers except the Sahaba. The meaning of other than the way of the believers, it means whoever follows other than the way of Sahaba. Whoever contradicts the way of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ after the huda, the guidance has been made clear to them, and follows a way other than the way of the Sahaba, سَبِيلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى, and we will turn him to that which he turns himself. وَمِسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ, and we will cause him to enter the hellfire. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and evil is it as a destination. And this ayah is a proof that it is haram to follow innovation or that which is in contradiction to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, whoever follows other than the way of believers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he would turn them to that which they turned themselves, and he would cause them to enter the hellfire, and evil is it as a destination. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَاكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and beware of every newly invented matter, فَإِنَّ كُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ دَلَالَةٍ, for every newly invented matter is bid'ah, innovation, and every innovation is astray. This is the proof that innovations, that is not allowed for us to follow innovations. Innovations lead astray, and whoever goes astray goes into the hellfire. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions, has the adhan been called? I didn't hear the adhan. طيب, maybe we'll take just a moment if there's any clarification or any question or comment while we're waiting for the adhan. نعم. The last ayat is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 115. Inshallah, next week we will continue with this chapter, the chapter of encouragement of following the Sunnah and avoiding innovation. And inshallah, perhaps if we complete it next week, then we will go on to the next chapter, which is the chapter of the some of the ayats of Quran which contain the descriptions or characteristics or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is followed by the chapter of some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that contain qualities or descriptions or characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.